All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you have your Bibles quickly, let's read two portions of the scriptures. We'll use that to pray today. First of all, let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 55, which we have been using to study on Saturdays, our series titled The Sayings of God. Just want to read it out. And if anybody is listening to this, make sure he listens to the whole series titled The Sayings of God. From verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We have been reading this on Saturdays in our series, The Sayings of God. And it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," verse 8, "neither are your ways my ways." He said, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, I want to just stop there. Okay, let me just read verse 10. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Now, I said to us on Saturdays that we have been studying the matter, the sayings of God, that the unrighteous man is known by his thoughts, by his thinking pattern. Righteousness means that you are thinking, all right? Or let me put it like this. If your frame of reference, your mindset is in accordance with the order of God, the word of God, then the Bible describes you as righteous. Righteousness is actually the rule, or let me put it like this, the stamp of approval that God puts on your manner of life. That's what righteousness is. And like we saw here, it is dictated by the way you think. So if a man thinks in accordance with how God wants him to think, he's a righteous man. And that plays out in the way the person walks. Are you getting my point? Now, I've been saying this to us again and again. Sin is not just a moral issue. No, that's not all sin is about. Sin is if God says something is bad and you say in your heart that it is good, that is sin. Do you follow what I'm saying? Whether you did it or not is not the issue. If God says it is bad and you say in your heart it is good, it is just that as a Christian, I can't do it. You're already a sinner. Forget that it's just that a Christian, I can't do it. Do you follow my point? That means if nobody's looking, you do follow my point? I mean, then for you it is okay. And you will give approval to those who do those things. That's what sin is. Sin is not just the acts you perform. It's your mindset. It's the way you reason. Please, that thing is very important. That's why he says, "Let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts." It's when the man has abandoned his thoughts that he can become a righteous man. Please bear that in mind. We have been studying that on Saturdays. So with that in mind, all right, let me just remind us of something we're saying again and again. God's word is an assignment. Everything that God utters is supposed to go out to accomplish. Don't ever forget that. God does not give advice. He does not joke. You follow my point? Anything he says has power in it to accomplish. God doesn't crack jokes. He never says, "I didn't mean that." He never says it. Because whether he means it or not, the thing will first be accomplished. So those are the things we should bear in mind. Therefore, of course, I said also, let me quickly add this on to it, that if anybody is not experiencing the word of God manifested in his life, it is because he's not agreeing with God in his heart. We saw that story from the book of 2 Kings when Elisha the prophet uttered a word, and a very important officer of the king who was in the know, who knew what was happening, explained that it was not possible that thing should happen the way the prophet has said it. That's in 2 Kings chapter 7. And because of that, though it happened, it did not happen in his life. Are you getting my point? He saw it, but he did not partake, all right, of it. That's how it is when people disagree with God in their hearts. Now, on Saturday, that's this last Saturday, we saw, as I began to talk about how God sees us. You get the point? And I remember I spoke about that, well, I was going to say extensively, but we did not finish. But I think we want to use that as our prayer point for today. How God sees us. That is, God looks at you and it's what he sees in you. Are you getting my point? It's different from what people see in you. It's different from what you see in yourself. All right? God looks at you and there's something that he's seen. There was a time he saw Jeremiah and he said, "You, I see a great prophet. I see a prophet to the nations." I see a man who can deliver my message to anybody. I see a man who is not afraid of anybody. I see a man whose words will not fall to the ground. And Jeremiah turned around like, is there somebody standing behind me? Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, are you talking about me? He said, Lord, you are making a mistake. Let me tell you what I see. I see a youth. I see a young boy who does not know how to talk. I see a young boy who is afraid of his elders. I see a young boy who cannot stand against iniquity publicly. That's what I see. I see a man who cannot articulate his speech. Nobody will listen to this fellow. And that's what Jeremiah was seeing. Are you getting my point? But God said to him clearly, no, that's not what I see. I see a man who I knew before he was formed in his mother's womb. Somebody who I called as a prophet to the nations. This is what righteousness is. Now listen, humility is not thinking very, let me just put it like that. Humility is not the ability to think very humbly. You like my English? You know, I manufacture English words once in a while. All right? It's not the ability to think in a very, very humble fashion. You know, it's like you say, when they look at you, say, hey, this your tie is very fine. And say, this cheap tie. Do you know where I bought it? It was second hand. You know, go to Dell. They said the tie is fine. What's wrong with you? Just accept that the tie is fine. You say, you're looking very beautiful. You're trying to flatter me. You follow what I'm going to explain here. So that's not humility. There's a world of difference between the two. What is humility? Accepting things the way God says them. That's what humility is. It is not humility for Abraham to look at God, say, a father of many nations I have made you. He said, God, you must be joking. No, I'm just a single small man who his wife has not had children even though we're 100 years old. No. And he said, I like that man. He's very humble. He's very humble. He never thinks so highly of himself. The Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself. What's the next line? Than you ought to think. There's an ought. It's when you pass that level where issues there. Like I told you, if you want title is cheap, it's free. God knows the quarrel. As long as you avoid certain titles, Almighty, don't use that kind of title. You may die very, very fast. Are you getting my point? The most wise one. If you use that title, you won't live more than the next 1 year. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? But Reverend, Pastor, Apostle, most anointed evangelist, what's the big deal? Go ahead. God won't quarrel about it. Share that title. Just don't be confused to think it's your real office. What am I saying? If you know how you ought to think, just don't go beyond that level. It is not humility to start accepting things that are far inferior to what God says about you. Are you getting my point? Abraham, if he has said, a father of a few nations, that's what I'm going to accomplish. That's iniquity. You know, assessing is not like, this man is stolen. You know, that's not just all sin is. Once God says one thing and you say another. For example, he said, the day you eat of that, you shall surely die. Satan, inciting them to sin, said, you will not surely die. Now, can you see? So for us, a small thing, they are just disagreeing on the potency of a poison. Is that not so? You really don't think it's a matter of iniquity. It's just that you think it is poisonous, I don't think it is poisonous. All right, but that was the foundation of all the problems of the earth. That's how sin began into this earth. Once people began to say to themselves, we will not surely die, when God said, you will surely die. Are you getting my point? So if Abraham said, father of a few nations, that's all we can accomplish. That's sin. I don't care how humble he thinks he is. Like I say to people all the time, by the time you are saying something about yourself, be very sure. Have the testimony of God. They said to Jesus, you are lying. You are testifying of yourself. He said, no, my testimony is not of myself. I'm giving you the testimony of the Father about me. So when he said, I am the light of the world, no be brag. It was a statement of fact. He wasn't inviting NTA or CNN to come and show him or see me. I'm the shiniest of the shining bubbles. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, it was a statement of fact. I am the light of the world. He that walks with me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light that produces life. It wasn't. Do you get my point? If you enter an office and say, please, I'm looking for the MD here. When they enter your office, if you are the MD, it's not like, no, we thank God, we are just a humble servant in this place. You are the MD. MD is the MD. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? So this is it. If God sees you in a particular fashion, it is sin. That's what I'm getting to. To say something different. That's all I'm saying. That's where, and they talk plenty to say one thing. The idea is that you never forget what I said. If God says one thing about you, it is sin to say something else about yourself. And you can't say, Pastor, you don't understand. My own situation. It's not like that, though. I don't care how you feel about it. Once you discover what the Word of God says about you, any day you ever utter anything contrary to that, you are walking in conjunction with Osama bin Laden. Are you getting my point? It is sin to disagree with God. Because sometimes when you are preaching inside people's hearts, on the surface, they are telling you, Amen, praise God. Inside, say, hey, Pastor never jam. Pastor never jam. This guy just preached. He hasn't gotten the point. He doesn't know where I'm coming from. That is sin. You may as well go outside and start doing all the bad things. Because you have already laid the foundation for it anyway. Are you getting my point? That's why I've told you several times. If you don't want to believe God, don't come near where His word is being preached. Go to a mosque. On Fridays, crawl to a mosque. Saturday night, go to Premier Garden. Don't call me on Saturday night. Sunday morning, sleep. That is, don't leave Premier Garden until like 3 a.m. So you can sleep on Sunday morning. Don't go to church. Because once you go to church, once you hear the word of God, there is an obligation to believe. Those who refuse to believe die where? In the wilderness. You see what I'm saying? Now, let me just quickly read this. I wasn't planning to preach for long. Please, quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's because of this, Paul was describing himself from verse 1. He said, Now I, Paul, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Alright, he said, I who am weak, meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. That's what they were saying about him. That's what it was, more like a bit of sarcasm there. He said in verse 2, I ask you, let me just go to the most important thing we're saying. Okay, let's just leave that verse 2. I ask that when I'm present, I may not be bold. That is, I may not need to be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, please, I don't have time to analyze all these things here. Where I want to release from verse 3, just I like to read in context. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not fight or war according to the flesh. That is, according to the precepts, the structures of human reasoning. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. King James used the expression, which most of us are familiar with, strongholds. He said, the weapons of our warfare, what we really fight, all right, in life, how we go about that fight. There are two things there. We have our warfare. Everybody say, our warfare. That is, there's something we are fighting. There is a war we are engaged in. And let me quickly add it. It's not against those witches and wizards. I was preaching in Oka on Sunday. It was a student crusade kind of outreach program. And I told them, if you know there are churches where you are normal now, you did normal. As you come here, so you're normal. You're just facing all the troubles of life with the word of God and prayer. Eh? As soon as you get to those churches, you go for 1 month, you become abnormal. And what do I mean by abnormal? Suddenly, you were just struggling with prayer and fasting and prophesying. Eh? Now you have not turned to fighting people. It is now all the witches, all the demons, all the enemies. Please, I'm begging you in the name of Jesus Christ, stop going there. You are not helping yourself. I'm not mentioning any name. You hear name from my mouth? But a friend of mine, who had a disagreement the other day, he was saying that these people, I said, trying what? Is that liberty? A man was normal before. You now convert him to a suspicious, paranoid, spiritually paranoid person. If Moto raised dust beside him, he sneezes out the dust in Jesus' name. They can't get me in Jesus' name. You should know you have entered the wrong assembly. You are entering into bondage. That's not the warfare that God sent you to fight. Are you getting the point I'm making? we have our warfare. We have a series of messages on it titled Christian Warfare. Yes. Go and listen to those messages. I described it there. Our weapon, our fight is not against imaginary spirits that live in trees in villages. You know my theory about that. A spirit that wants to stay in the tree, what do? Leave him there. He's a very nice guy. You should be angry with the spirits who want to drive your car with you. That's not our warfare. Please. We have our warfare. And I want to just bring something out from there, all right? So, number one, we have our warfare. And number two, there are weapons that we use in battle. When we say warfare here, what it means is war. Simple. Are you getting my point? Battle. All right? And there are weapons we use in that battle. And he said, this is what those weapons do. He said, they are powerful, all right, mighty through God for the destruction of fortresses. Now, this is what he says, verse 5. He said, we are destroying speculations. These are the fortresses. Please notice this. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is what? Complete. Let me stop there. Because I don't want to read everything Paul is saying. This is just the point I want to bring out. The warfare is about what? Thoughts. Are you seeing it? He said we are destroying speculations, projections, predictions, prophecies that are against what God says. Do you follow the point? We are destroying them. We are destroying every lofty thing, every imagination that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And please, notice this. He said that we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Now, I read that last line to bring out something here. That the first place where God is working is not out there in the world. It is where? In here, in the church. That's where I'm going to. If you listen to that message, take hold of the kingdom, all right, in our Training to Reign series. I talked about taking hold of the kingdom of God. That the first place where you take hold of God's kingdom is where? It's inside you. It's in you. I'm going somewhere here. At the first place you use the weapons of God's, the divinely powerful weapon for our warfare is in fighting the imaginations that are inside your heart. Yes, that's number one. That's number one. Now, I told you I was preaching in Oka on Sunday. One of the things I told them, I said, listen, there are people who pray all night. This night is against the enemies. This night is against the witches. Today we will finish them. Somebody sent oh my God. Somebody sent a photograph of one poster he saw or she saw somewhere. They photographed it. Koboko night. One church in Abuja. Night they are going to whip the devil. And the pastor said everybody must come with the koboko. I'm not joking. If you want, I will forward you the email. Really, somebody saw it, came down, photographed this thing, called email us, or email and to us, email us. Koboko night. I've seen people shooting the devil a whole night, two and boom, 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 boom. Oh, poor devil. If that devil has a second chance, he will never try this thing again. Because even the one he did not do, he has been accused of it. You've heard the joke before, of one day, man was passing, and he saw Satan sitting down somewhere, and he was crying. So the fellow stopped and said, Mr. Devil, why are you crying? The guy said, the lie is too much. He was sitting in front of a church. So these people inside there, that the lie is too much. I know I have sinned, but this one, hamba, that everything that goes on wrong in their life, they say it's my fault. Even the ones I know nothing about, is the devil. If their doors don't open because they bought one cheap Chinese lock, it is the devil. What have I done to deserve all this harassment? I told them, I talked to them when I was preaching. I said, listen, you can't stay up all night doing such things. It's not right. Should you stay up all night for some things? Yes. Listen. There are the most important prayer point, and I can't begin to give you personal testimonies now. There are things that there are thoughts that come to my mind. It wants to bring accusations against people. It wants to bring strife, maybe in my home and all of that. And I'll say, fine, we are going to settle this matter. And you know how we settle it? That's what we're saying. It's imaginations. It's thoughts, speculations, raised up against the knowledge of God. So what do? We start fighting them with the knowledge of God. That's where I'm going. That's where you are supposed to stay up all night. Listen, I said in one of those messages then that there's nothing wrong when you hear bad news, predictions that are wrong, and you become afraid. There's nothing wrong. When I say there's nothing wrong now, when you don't, for you to be able to be afraid, it means that there are certain things that are not yet in place in your heart. So that's the time. Those are the times you declare all night. You will go and sleep early. Then rise up around 11, 12 when everybody has slept. The best way to handle it, this is my experience. God has blessed us with technology. Amen. It's not Antichrist. Internet is not Antichrist. Amen. I don't want to go into that. I found out what the mark of the beast is. And people have been taking it every day. And the predictions in the scriptures that they can't buy or sell except they take the mark of the beast, it's, I don't have time to go into it now. It's played out every day. That's why if you start a company, listen to me, don't take it public unless you have a way to Dangote the control. You know, Dangote, so 30% of Dangote sugar, that's the best way to collect money from everybody, but the control is still your own. But you must never lose control. You know why? This is what they call stock market. They've drunk of the spirit of this age. They want you to make profit. That's Antichrist spirit. Let me not digress into that. All right? So don't let that. But they, look, technology is a blessing from God. That's just by the way. That's quick by the way. Amen? Back to the main thing we're saying. So one of the things God has given us is tapes. Internet is good. There's one brother, he's on our mailing list. Once I send links around, you know, I sent a message last week. I don't know how many of you have received it. All right? He said, on his BlackBerry, bam, he just clicks on it and it just streams. So he puts his earphone. He has played BlackBerry for the month. So he's just listening to the thing through and through. At such times, when you wake up like that, that's a good way to start. Locate. There's one brother who told me once, anytime he has challenges, he used to record when we were on radio. He had masses of tapes. Every message that's coming up, he puts a tape recorder. I want to say, welcome to the Way of Success. Press, bam, begin record. He would record the whole thing, 30 minutes. So he used to file them. So he said when he has challenges, he will go through the archive, he'll check, where did this Bobo talk on this matter? He brings out the tape. Before he considers what to do, he puts in the tape, close his eyes, and listen. He will listen properly. Are you getting my point? Then he knows what to do. That's how they handle such things. People, listen. One brother told me once that one day he sat with friends and they told him the issues of life. He said he sat down and he began to cry. Nothing to him. He just realized that now I have left school. I'm in trouble. Before that evening, he was happy. Then when he gathered with people and they began to talk, by economic problems, speculations. Can you see that? Economic problems, things that are going to happen to people like him. He literally broke down when everybody had gone away and he began to cry. Real cry. Tear cry, you know? Wailing cry. Woo, 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 cry. He looked and said, God, see my life. I'm in trouble. Those are the times people pray. Are you getting my point? Those are the times they take a message and first listen to it. That's our prayer point for today. They listen to it and then with the word of God start casting down imaginations. It doesn't mean you understand and you fully, you know, through human reasoning are able to agree. But at least you have information that this is what God says about you. That's why you hear the word of God. It's not to say, hey, now I'm into, I don't go to church. May I repeat what they talk for there? No, it's more of when life talks. You know, I've been saying all the time, life is a battle of what? Words. It's a battle of words. When life talks to you, you talk back. That's how you cast down imaginations. They were talking about, long ago, they were talking about how God sees you, like Jeremiah. If God talks to you and your name is Jeremiah like that, and you are afraid, then you go and sleep. Then wake up when everybody has gone to sleep. Then you stay up all night. Start repeating to yourself what God said about you. Do you get my point? That's how you are casting down imaginations. That's what we're talking about. Because you see, I read this from one funny clown long ago, but he was speaking deep spiritual truth. He said, imagination is more powerful than willpower. That's why Paul said we have to cast down what? Imaginations. What is willpower? Let me tell you what willpower is. I must make it. I must make it. I must make it. I must live long. You have all those, you know, desires. So you rise up early in the morning. People, they do business. Me too, I must do them. 6 o'clock, you're out of the house. And you're working hard, hard, hard. But like I said on Saturday, but deep inside, something is saying, you will fail. You know now, it's in your family, it's in your blood. And you're working hard, hard. But deep inside, you know that this is not going to go anywhere. The man who was saying that, not a Christian writer, just read one of his books, one of his mystical books. But when I saw that truth, I said, this is divine truth. This is how he illustrated it. He said, if I draw across a street, all right, across a street, I draw a line about 1 foot wide. That is, I draw a kind of a column, 1 foot wide. One line here, 1 foot in between. And you're supposed to walk across. No, let's say 3 feet wide to make it easy. 3 feet wide across the street. So you walk across. Say, make sure you don't move to the left or the right. You will walk across that street 10 times without moving to the left or the right beyond those boundaries. He said, now just imagine that I take that same line, I move it higher up, let's say 50 floors. There's a house on the other end of the street, one here, 50 floors. Now, they tell you walk across the street. Are you getting the point? Now you are 50 floors in the air. There's no problem. It's the same width you have been crossing up and down. So they say, cross it again. Suddenly you can't go again. And they said, that shows you something. Imagination is more powerful than the will. Why? Once you're about to move, you are not seeing the road, you are seeing the fall. You are beginning to imagine, wow, on the floor, where will my head fall? How many cracks will be in my arm alone? One arm. You play out those whole the whole scenario. You say, Moses, enough it. This was the same dimensions you were using just a while ago, but down on the ground floor when you were down. He that is down needs fear no fall. Suddenly when you are up, you are fearing the fall. So he said, you see, the imagination is stronger than the willpower. And that's why the word hope in the Bible, all right, is a deep-seated expectation. People say that hope is uncertain. I say it's not true. That's not correct biblical interpretation. People say that hope is uncertain. Faith is what is sure. You must get faith to give something to your hope. I say that's not hope. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is expectation born of evidence. Do you get my point? Hope in the Bible does not make ashamed. It is hope in the Word of God. It's born of evidence. It's a conclusion you came to having reasoned. That's what hope is. So when God breaks hope in you, it's more powerful than adversities. Are you getting my point? That's why God doesn't describe the details of the problems of life for people. Go and read the scriptures. Come, I will make you a father of many nations. Come, your descendants will inherit this. Are you getting my point? But once he had that firm expectation, nothing could stop him. All the challenges couldn't stop him. Do you follow the point I'm making? So what are we doing? We are casting down what? Imaginations. What Satan wants to do to you is make sure you imagine something different from what God wants you to have. The first place you exercise the power of prayer is in those areas, your personal life, when your own obedience is complete. I said to you all the time, the problem in Nigeria is not a problem of politicians, it's a problem of church. Are you getting my point? Yes, if we pastors stop lying and stop stealing, politicians will suddenly start going to jail for lying and stealing. Yeah, no, what I'm saying is a matter of fact. If we Christians, we stop deceiving ourselves with the word of God. You know that I'm deceiving ourselves with the word of God. Uh-huh. Once we stop it, suddenly God will start arresting people who steal national treasure. Yes. But as long as we are lying, taking the treasure of the word of God and corrupting it and, man, you know, twisting it to meet our own ends, the politician is free. God has no justification to arrest him. When your own obedience is complete, then you'll be ready to avenge every disobedience. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right? So, where do we start from? I said, righteousness is when I align my thoughts, all right, with the thoughts of God. First of all, about myself. It is not every femme talk, I just want to say femme now, a talk of affirmation. That's pride. You can't go to a hospital, you see one young man, say, are you a doctor? And say, no. Oh, yeah, you are just trying to treat people. If you're a doctor, you're a doctor. There's no pride in it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. If you're the MD, you're the MD. If you're not the MD, that is when it is pride. You are just his personal assistant. Because he's not around. And that's who's the MD, say, Aisa. Do you understand? Pride is when you are thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Do you get the point I'm making? Don't forget, it's what God has made you in Christ Jesus that you brag about. You cast down every imagination. Let's rest our feet. It's time to pray. That's what we want to do. Just to pray. All we want to do is pray. I did all that plenty talk. Let's title this our prayer for today. Casting down imaginations. It's not casting out the devil. The devil was cast down long ago. Before you were born. Amen? Yes, he was. He was. It's not the devil. Casting down witches. There are some African gospels. You know what I'm saying? There are gospels that can only be written to. Last time I was preaching, there was one American man sitting down there. So every time I say something about witches, I'll talk to him and say, please, I apologize. I was so embarrassed. But thank God he was originally in Nigeria. Sorry, an African too, from Liberia. So I hope they had witches in Liberia those days. You know, then there are things you say. If I want to broadcast to cover Western Europe and North America, I will remove them. It's embarrassing. Some things are pure, like one brother said. He says African mythology, you know, myth. Myth. Everything goes wrong. African man goes to divine who did it. You don't notice? You don't understand? The divination is who is responsible. They sack a man in his work. He goes to find out who is behind the sack. A man dies, they go to find out who is behind the death. The doctor said, no, this was a disease that afflicted him and he died. No. Want to find out who? Who is the who? When I first came to Enugu, people come and say they want to do autopsies. After a while, I had to start telling people, sorry, I know they find wishes. All the wishes that kill the person. I can't see it though. So, and we now carry it to Christianity. I'm sorry I have to continue saying this so that it can help people. We now carry it to Christianity. You know, Babalawo gave his life to Christ. You know, Jesus, okay. He now becomes a pastor. His mindset has not changed. Before, he was looking for who's responsible by casting pellets. Now he's looking for who's responsible by reading the book of Psalms. He was fighting enemies that time by incantations. It is still the same incantation. Now he has taken from the book of Psalms now. The same attitude. The man lost his job. He has not asked the guy. They said, you get to office by 8. When did he used to get there? He hasn't asked that one. He hasn't asked. So we are not here to cast out witches. Amen? We are not casting down enemies. Are we? It's a waste of time, isn't it? What are we casting down? Imaginations. Thoughts, ideas in our hearts. First of all, about ourselves. That's where we start from. Because later on, you have to cast down ideas in your heart about your environment that's disagreeing with what God says about the environment. Because if you don't cast out those imaginations, if your name is Lot, and you're quarreling with your cousin, your uncle, Abraham, when they say, look around, choose anywhere, you will choose the well-watered garden. And well-watered plains, like the garden of the Lord at that point in time. You will move towards the plains of Sodom, and that will be the beginning of your troubles. Because you did not cast down imaginations with the word of God. The word of God that says clearly, I will bless you and make you a blessing. That's what I said to Abraham. I will give you all the land, everywhere around. Are you getting my point? You've not cast out the imaginations that blessings come from inside, not from outside. So people tell you that nothing can ever work in Nigeria. That's a satanic imagination. That's what I mean. You have to cast that one down too. You have to. One day somebody, was a friend of mine, he said, government is selling land. He said, don't mind them. They just want to steal your money. My friend said, don't mind him. This is how good things happen and it will pass people by. You know that it happens. You hear that the government said, okay, go and pay for form, 5,000. We've mapped out land. You pay, if you qualify, you pay 200,000 and 600 square meters is yours. Say, now, so that they do. Now, your money, they won't chop. They don't give their friends already. Don't mind them. And then some people that are not willing to be blessed will join you too. So all of you will not mind them. And to your surprise, all those who decided to mind them will get the land. You now say, I don't know what's wrong with this Enugu. Land is so expensive. Meanwhile, God, who he has been praying to all the while, was dashing it out free of charge. You refused to take. Why? Because there were imaginations in your heart that says that men, wicked men, are more powerful than your God. You see what I'm saying? But first, let's start with casting out the imaginations about ourselves, which does not allow us to see ourselves the way God sees us. What are you? You are whatever God made you in Christ Jesus. First of all, let's start by giving God thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Because I am only what I am in Christ Jesus. I'm nothing else. I'm not from this state, you know. You are from river oil-producing area, riverine, or non-oil-producing area. That's not what I am. Say it like you believe it. I am only what God made me to be in Christ Jesus. Say, Father, I thank you because I am only what you made me to be in Christ Jesus. I am not a naturally intelligent person. It makes no difference. I am not naturally dull. It makes no difference. What I am is what you have made me in Christ Jesus. Just give the Lord thanks for that. Say it loud. Say, I'm not tied to my background. I'm not tied to where I came from. No, I'm not tied to any of those things. I'm not tied to the fact that I'm a black man from Nigeria. I'm tied only to the fact that in Christ Jesus, I rose up from the dead with him. And I'm seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. I'm seated in the realms of success. I'm seated in the realms of God. I am seated where the grace of God flows. I am not what people think of naturally. Paul said, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, henceforth we know no man according to the flesh. All we know is that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. He said, behold, all things have become new. All these new things are of God. That is, it's not from where he came from naturally. You know, as Christians, you must never brag. No people from my place, no, they take nonsense. That's around nonsense. Around nonsense. There's no we from anywhere. You are only what God made you in Christ Jesus. You are only what God made in Christ. So begin to declare, say after me, say, I am only what God made me in Christ Jesus. Say like you believe it, I am what God made me to be in Christ Jesus. Say in Christ Jesus, I have been delivered from the past. It's important you say that like you believe it. Because people, Satan, you know, I told you, you have to fight Satan. It is not the kind of fight people saying that, first, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. He doesn't even know where he's going out from. You must be specific on matters like this. There are people that every day Satan brings accusations against them with something that's in their background. Either a situation where they were born into or something they did actively as an adult some time ago. Listen to me. In Christ Jesus, you have been redeemed. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
I said, in Christ Jesus, you have been redeemed.
Amen.
Now declare it. Say, Satan, hear this.
In Christ Jesus,
I have been redeemed.
In Christ
Jesus,
my sins are forgiven.
In Christ Jesus,
I'm a new creature.
All things are passed away.
All things have become new.
In Christ Jesus,
all these things are of God.
In Christ Jesus,
my past has been wiped away.
Say, Satan,
in the name of Jesus,
I refuse your accusations.
I refuse your accusations.
I refuse your accusations.
I am
what God has made me to be.
I am
Say, in Christ Jesus, I am the righteousness of God. Say, in Christ Jesus, I am the righteousness of God. You say, because I have believed, I have passed out of death, and I have passed into life. Say, the blood of Jesus has paid for all my sins. The blood of Jesus has wiped away all my iniquities. I have new life in Him. I have new life in Him. I have new life in Him. I have new life in Christ Jesus. I said something on Saturday. He said, there are people, there were things that were said to them when they were children. Their parents, because they were not informed, they spoke negatively to them all the time. You can never do well. You are so clumsy. You never do things properly. Anything that, if I give you a cup to hold, it will fall down and break. If I give you clothes to wear, it will tear before evening. Why are you like this? You are just a useless. And they heard it again and 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 again. It sank into their subconscious, and that is forming imaginations in their hearts. We will cast down that imagination today. I said, that imagination, we are casting it down.
Amen.
Do you know why? Because God said, all things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Glory and failure, they don't go together. If you ever suffered any failure, it's because you are supposed to step out of it into glory.
Amen.
They called you a failure. I declare to you that you are a glorious person in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, speak to yourself. Say,
soul, hear this.
I am not a failure.
I am not clumsy.
I may have been like that in the past,
but God says
that's not what I am anymore. Listen, I want you to say this to yourself. It's the word of God. We are not just psyching ourselves up. We are speaking the word of God. It's even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the Spirit will give it life because of righteousness. I am not saying your father was stupid when he was saying what he was saying, or your mother did not have physical evidence. I am saying all things are passed away. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I am saying all things are passed away. Say amen.
Amen.
I am saying all things are passed away.
Amen.
I said that all the new things in your life came from God.
Amen.
Therefore, all those confessions concerning you, they are wrong. All those negative words concerning you, they are wrong. Jesus paid to make them wrong.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus made them wrong.
Amen.
You know, God said something when he was speaking to the children of Israel. He said, even though Balaam came to curse you, I took the curses and turned them to a blessing. I turned them to a blessing. I turned them to a blessing. All those words of curses, because curse is not just "it no go better for you." That's not only what curses are. Look, when somebody looks at you and says you can't do well, now imagine if somebody said "it shall be well with you." Is that not a blessing? Somebody said you can't do well. Is that not a curse? But in Christ Jesus, they have been turned to a blessing.
Amen.
They have been turned to a blessing.
Amen.
Therefore, let's talk. All right. And repeat it the way God sees us. What we are doing is casting down imaginations that are against the way God sees us, and want to see ourselves in the light of God's word. And in God's word, he says clearly, without equivocation, that all things are passed away. All things have become new. And all the new things came out of God. Therefore, speak to those voices in you. Say, I'm not a failure. Say to those voices. You're not telling me now. You are speaking to your heart. He says, soul, hear it. You are not a failure. Jesus did not make you a failure. God didn't make you a failure. Jeremiah said, I'm but a youth. So sometimes you say to yourself, but I don't know anything. God says, stop talking like that. I have given you the spirit of Daniel. I said to us before, the word Christ encompasses every good thing that God ever did for anybody on this earth. The spirit of Solomon is in that word Christ. The spirit of Daniel is in that word Christ. The spirit of Joseph is in that expression, in Christ. So in Christ, you have the spirit of Joseph. That divine spirit that gives you understanding, you have it in Christ. In Christ, you have the spirit of Daniel that makes you able to decode difficult things. In Christ, you have them. So say to your soul, I am not a failure. The They said, I'm clumsy. I am not clumsy anymore. In Christ Jesus, I have the wisdom of Joseph. In Christ Jesus, I have the diligence, all right, of a righteous man. In Christ Jesus, I have the intelligence of Joseph. In Christ Jesus, I am 10 times above everybody else. Everyone who is not in Christ, I am 10 times above them. Even though I failed in the past, I am not a failure. Because failure is part of the old man. The new man in Christ Jesus is a success. Say to your soul, listen soul, you are a success in Christ Jesus. You are not a failure. You are not a failure. You are a great man, a great woman going somewhere to happen. God created you as a blessing. Listen to this. There's something he said very clearly. Ephesians chapter 1, we read it. He said, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And when he spoke to Abraham, he said, I blessed you so that you would be a blessing. You see, you know, there are words that you must never use or agree with. We masses. Leave that for Adam to shame Molly and his comrades. Are you getting my point? Yes. We masses. Which masses? Masses. When you see here the word masses, is oppressed people. People who don't have a say. People who that if they devalue the naira, all their savings will disappear. That's masses. There are things you should not agree with. When they say masses, say no, I'm not one of them. I am not one of them. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Why did I say that? Because sometimes our attitude to life is this begging attitude. You know, it pains me these days. Churches, Christians, we have glorified begging. We love to beg. Once we need money, what do we start doing? We start begging. And you know where we learned it from? Pastors. We man the pulpit and beg and beg. And I say our God is able, then we start begging. I said there's a contradiction here. You tell the people you are begging, just trust God. They say, you that's begging, why don't you trust God? Are you getting my point? Yes, you that's begging, why don't you trust God? We are not into a habit. We are supposed to be the head and not the tail. But what we are is that we have this confession, we are the head and not the tail, but we have the taily attitude. Let me say, some of these are not popular. You jump from one job to the other looking for better pay, you are a tail. Forget all this, you that's tail. That's so tail they behave. Circumstance will be wagging you to and fro, you know. You don't see dog, we're happy to see owner before. They tell you, they jump like this. Even when cow is feeding, see the tail, finger. You can't shoot a cow's tail, it's difficult. So it's moving. That's how tails are. Every little increase, hey, they are paying more there, it don't go there. They are paying more here, don't go there. Or begging for blessing. That's what am I saying? It's a poverty mentality. I tell you, when you want to look for work in life, two things you look for. One, where you can learn. Two, where you can bless somebody. Are you getting my point? Where you can learn and where you can bless somebody. And all other things shall be added unto you. Where you can learn and where you can do what? Bless somebody. What am I saying? Let's drop that attitude of, you know, begging. You're happy. If you see 20 naira for road, hey, praise God. 20 naira. You two, throw away 20 naira one day, let somebody say praise God when they find it. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? It's an attitude. You understand my point? It's a mindset. It's a mindset of poverty. That's what I'm saying. And we will cast down that imagination. Are you getting my point? What is the right imagination? I am the head and not the tail. Listen, it does not mean physically you have money. Listen, if you see a rich man, maybe your uncle is very rich. Or this one, Uncle Goodman, I just want to see how you are doing. You know, you are stylishly begging. You know now. Once you catch yourself, refuse to delete his number for a while. Yes. Yes. Delete his number for a while. Stop begging. Have an attitude. I tell people all the time that no matter how rich that your uncle is, if you buy him pineapples, he will enjoy it. If you are going to his house, take something. And not as if you are coming to, you know, there's this take something as if, yes, I want to let him think I'm a nice guy. No, he's your senior. You know, a son honors his father. You should honor your father. You get my point? Yes. I tell my wife, there's something, the one principle, like, look, I don't go home and not bless my mother? When my dad was alive, the same thing is not possible. Okay. Maybe they were not very rich people. But my in-laws are rich people. Yet, I don't go home without blessing them. It's not possible. I don't want anything from you. I must give to you. A son honors his father. That's my own. I don't care whether you have money or you don't have money. It's your personal problem. A son does what? Honors his father. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. My friend who's a pastor was describing last time we were in Benin. He said that those days when he didn't have as much money as he had, when he'll be coming home, he's a pastor in the north. I said, how can I enter the house? And he'll check the money he has, it's small. So we enter the market. Buy provisions, you know? If you had 500 naira, it's small. But when it comes to one fat bottle of Milo, tin of Milo, things don't change. That's how I went. So we convert the little money he has to provision and haul the thing in. And everybody's excited that it's coming. It's a mental attitude. It's bringing into a home where they have more than he does. It's what? A mental attitude. It's what? A mental attitude. Because you are not a beggar. You are a giver. Listen, if you respond to life like that, is you enter life with that attitude. A time will come. You know, a friend of mine said something the other day. He said, I don't buy perfumes. I said, why? He said, because people are always dashing it to me. Now listen to this. He said something. He has maybe like 5 wristwatches there. He didn't buy anyone. My sister gave me this. A patient gave me this. One man gave me this. He now said that, why didn't they give these things to me when I needed them? He said, those days, I needed these things. Nobody gave them to me. Now I don't need them. People are giving them to me. Now that I can buy them, people are buying things for me. They buy me phone. They buy me. He said, I don't need those things. Now, you know what other story? That's what life be. To him that has. So if you have an attitude of him that has, it has the same effect. That's where I'm going. You enter life with that attitude. They will be begging you with jobs. You won't kill. They will be begging you with jobs. Therefore, speak to it. Because it's not just about, in the name of Jesus Christ. No, this last emergency, foolish virgin prayer. You get my point? That's not what I'm talking about. You either have that attitude or you don't have it. And the way by which you have that attitude is use the word of God to cast down the imaginations that life, you know, taught you over the years. There's a joke I joke with one of my friends. I mean, especially, she never has credit on her phone. I said, I said, my credit don't finish. I said, why is your credit always finishing? She said, I never pay more than 400 naira. I said, this is your poverty. The poverty of your childhood has not left your mind. I'll be yapping. I said, come on, go and buy better credit for the amount of money you earn. You see the bank card, 200 naira, 100 naira. They made those cards for some people, not people like you. So I told her, I said, you know your problem? I said, the poverty of childhood is still holding your brain together. You have to cast it down. And you can cast that thing down, whether you have money or not. It's what? An attitude. Let me tell you the word you use to cast it down again. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He said, you will be the head and not the tail. You will lend to many and not borrow. What words do you need more than that? Speak to your soul. Say, I am a blessing. Use those words. Say, I am a blessing. Say, God causes all grace to abound towards me. Say, God causes all grace to abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. And I abound to every good work. I am indeed the head and not the tail. I am the head and not the tail. I have been blessed and I am a blessing. I will lend to many and I will not. Now use those words and speak to yourself. Speak to yourself. Say, no, I'm not a beggar. Enter into life with that kind of confidence. And life will respond to you with every good thing. That's why I told the story of my friend. When you are a beggar, they don't give to you. When you are not begging, they will give you. That is the way life is. When you are a beggar, life doesn't give to you. But when you are a giver in your heart, it's not just about saying, okay, I sow a seed so I can get something back. No, it's just an attitude. I thought that's how Christians give. Christians don't do this kalokalo giving. They give out of understanding. That my book, I said I was writing, how to pay, so who will pay for this? That's what I'm teaching inside there. Now you will look and say, somebody has to pay for this, and you contribute your portion. You will look and say, this person needs something, and you contribute your portion. Why? Because you're already a blessed person. Speak to your soul. Say, soul, you are not a beggar. Listen, you are blessed. We are speaking. Say, you know, David says, soul, I speak to my soul. David will say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. My soul. David will always address his soul. I want you to address your soul also. Speak to your soul. He said, don't be downcast. Don't be afraid. Because the word of God, every word of God must be fulfilled. They were sent for fulfillment purposes. They were sent for the purposes of fulfillment. Therefore, say to your soul, this is the word that will be fulfilled in your life. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He said, I desire above all else that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. That was an elder praying for the church, reflecting the mind of God. The Bible says that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. He delights in the prosperity of his servant. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be in the house. You will be blessed when you go out. You will be blessed when you come in. You will be blessed in the matters of the field. You will be blessed in the matters of your body. You will be blessed in everything you put your hands to do. That is what it means to be in Christ. Speak to your soul. Say, these are the words that God has spoken. This is the word of God concerning you. Take these words, eat it, and rest. Because they will not return to God void. In your life, they must. You are speaking to your soul. Say, in your life, they must accomplish. In your life, this word will produce. You will be the head and not the tail. You will not only take jobs, you will give out jobs. God will make all grace abound towards you. You are speaking to your soul. God's ideas will come onto the earth through you. You will create companies that multitudes will work in. You are speaking to your soul and you don't even have a job yet. Or you have a small job. But you are declaring that you are going to soul. You will affect multitudes. You will affect this generation. You are not a covetous person. You are not doing this for self-glory. You are doing it to pour a blessing upon people that don't have faith. The Bible says not all men have faith. But because you are in contact with God's soul, you have faith and you are bringing down good from above. Say to your soul, everywhere you go, you are a blessing. Everywhere you walk, you are blessing somebody. Say, your testimony will be like that of Jacob. Laban said, I have divined that God blessed me because of your presence. That the presence of Laban, of Jacob in the house of Laban, was reflected in the prosperity in that company. In that company, the Laban company. That you also, everywhere you go, you will cause people to prosper. If you're a lecturer, you will cause your colleagues and your students to prosper. If you are working for your boss must earn much more than he's paying you. That's when you will have joy. Don't talk like an unbeliever. They say, after how much are they paying me? They are not supposed to pay you as much as you are making for them. That's the principle. And you must take joy in it. That your boss knows you are valuable. You must make them real. Speaking to your soul. You are not preaching to me. I'm not preaching to you. You are speaking to your soul. Say, soul, listen. You are a Jacob in the house of Laban. And the time will come that God will open the door. You will go back home and you will make yourself rich and leave an inheritance for your children and for your children's children and for the children after that. That is your portion because the blessing of Abraham is upon you. Because the blessing of Abraham is upon you. Soul, you are not a beggar. This is how God sees you. God sees you as a man of prosperity, as a woman of excellence, as a woman that blesses people, that in all that you do, you prosper. Speak to your soul. What we are doing is that we are casting down every imagination that is against the word of God. The imagination that says that you are a poverty case, we cast it down. No, you are a case of blessing. You are a case of abundance. The imagination that says that you can never do well, we are casting it down. No, there is a blessing in your hands. What is a blessing? It's an empowerment to succeed. It's a be fruitful. And multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Say, dominion is my portion. Say to your soul, say, soul, dominion is your portion. This is the word of God concerning you. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Be fruitful. Speak to your soul. Say, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and have dominion. Rule over the fish of the sea. over the birds of the air. Rule over ideas in technology. Rule over ideas in business. Rule over ideas in homes. Management of homes. Personal financial management. Rule over money. Rule over ministry. That is, you execute your ministry that God has given you. Rule over blessing other people. Say, be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. That is the word of God concerning me. That is the word of God concerning you. Therefore, you are not a beggar. Let this word sink into you and life will respond to you. Remember what we said before? The word of God is like electric current. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirits. They contain a spiritual substance that imparts life. And they charge your being. And as you go out, they begin to attract the plan of God into your life. It's not consciously trying to do the will of God. No. But by soaking in the word of God, there's a charge created inside you and you begin to attract things. Now speak to those things. Say, blessings come to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak to them. Say, you are coming to me because I've been blessed, so I will be a blessing. Life responds to me positively. Every failure is a lesson. Hey, it doesn't mean Christians don't fail or they don't have problems. But every failure is just a lesson for the believer. That's why the righteous man falls 7 times and the Lord continues to raise him up. So your problems, your challenges, your failures, they are the stepping stone into abundance. They are the stepping stone into victory. That is how you learn how life operates. They asked Thomas Edison, you tested this thing this number of times and did not work. He said, we only tested it so as to know the ways by which it will not work. Now we have found out the way by which it works. That's how Christians fail. But they are not failures. They are blessed people. Therefore, speak to your soul. Say, soul, take rest. You are not a beggar. Every imagination that says that you're a second-class citizen is cast down in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, say amen to that.
Amen.
I said every imagination that says that you are inferior to somebody else is cast down in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every word. Maybe your parents spoke them long ago. You know, I've heard people say to their cousins, their brothers, their children, you know where we are from. You know how things are with us. And what they are saying, that you know we are problem people. You know we are sick people. You know we are poor people. No. That imagination out of your life now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
These words that we have spoken, they are the words of God. In agreement, as a church, the people of God, we say it will settle in the heart of everybody present here this evening in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every word of Satan is repelled. Every word trying to elevate itself against this knowledge of God, we cancel it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus has erased every handwriting that was written against us. Those things that said that we are failures, we are inferior, we will die young, we are sickly, they have been erased in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The words of victory has been written.
Amen.
They have been declared.
Amen.
We see them and we believe them.
Amen.
I said we see them and we believe them.
Amen.
They are attracting towards us good in life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, you are so good. Just give him thanks. Just give him thanks. Give him thanks because he's so good. Give him thanks because he's so good. That's what we are doing. We are stepping into righteousness. What is righteousness? He said, let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. We are forsaking our own thoughts. Let's just add this to it as we are living. I want you to understand something. I say this all the time. People are blessed. Places are blessed because of people. And not people because of places. If you stay in Enugu, you will be blessed. Say amen.
Amen.
If you move to Abakaliki, you will be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
If you go to Abuja, you will be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
If you move to Kaduna, you will be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
If you move to Lagos, you will be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
If you move to Port Harcourt, you will be blessed.
Amen.
If you have found a Makurdi, you will be blessed.
Amen.
If you move to Cote d'Ivoire, you will be blessed.
Amen.
If you move to South Africa, you will be blessed.
Amen.
If you go to this present-day Egypt, you will be blessed.
Amen.
If you are to be found in Australia, you will be blessed.
Amen.
If you are found in the United States of America, you will be blessed.
Amen.
If you are found anywhere on the surface of this earth, you will be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, speak to your environment. Just in your own words, say, I am blessed. You will release blessings for me. I don't care where I am. That Abraham chose the inferior ground, but the blessing in him made them fruitful. And Isaac sowed in the land. Everybody ran away from that land because of famine. But Isaac sowed in that land. People ran away because it was dry. But Isaac sowed in that land. People ran away because the ground was hard to break. But Isaac sowed in that land. People ran away because the land was not fruitful. Isaac sowed in that land. And in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. And the man became rich and became richer. And he worked stronger and moved forward. Why? Because the blessing of Abraham was inside him. And a greater than Abraham has blessed you. His name is Jesus Christ. Therefore, wherever you sow, you will reap. Wherever you put forth your hand to do business, you will succeed. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anywhere God locates you is blessed ground.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
If you start your business downstairs here, it will be blessed.
Amen.
If you move to Abakwa, if God moves you by His Spirit to Abakwa, it's because you are going there to release a blessing.
Amen.
Therefore, you will do well there.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to employ people. You need them. You will work so strong, you will employ more.
Amen.
Your name will be called blessed.
Amen.
Many people will feed from your table.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even if Nigeria was not planning to be good, his plan has changed. Because of you.
Amen.
Because of you.
Amen.
He said you are the salt of the earth. That's what it means. That is, if you and I move today to Cote d'Ivoire, they will stop fighting. If God says, okay, let me stop punishing Libya, He will relocate you and me to the place.
Amen.
And NATO will stop bombing. Gaddafi, his opponent, all of them will arrange something and peace must come. Everywhere you go, peace is your portion.
Amen.
Jesus said, peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Peace is tangible. You must understand that. That's why He said you can carry your peace away with you when you are going. If you get to a house, you say, peace be upon this home. You know, I tell you all the time, bless your home. When you get home, tell them, peace be upon this home. All the troubles in the house will come to an end.
Amen.
Therefore, your environment will release the peace of God to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you step as a man, a woman of peace, out into this world, it will have no choice but to respond to you with the peace in reality in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is your portion.
Amen.
And that will be your testimony.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Father, we thank you. Your word has come to us again. Say, Lord, this word will not return void. It will produce in my life. It will produce in my life. It will produce in my life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Cheer up, brethren.